Please turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, and we will read Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. Let's hear God's word. Psalm 106, reading verses 37 and 38. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. And may God Himself add His divine blessing to it. Today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And I want to take this opportunity to preach against the sin of abortion. As a congregation, we strongly believe that life begins at conception, and that human life is sacred because God has created every human life in His image. Sadly, here in Canada, unborn babies are not always treated with dignity and respect. According to statistics, every day in Canada, about 300 unborn babies are legally put to death by abortion. Abortion is legal for any reason throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. This means a mother can choose to abort her child anytime during her pregnancy with no criminal restrictions. For every 4 children who are born, 1 child is killed by abortion. And since January 1988, abortion on demand has been legal in Canada. Since then, over 4 million pre-born human beings have been murdered in our country. And as such, what the psalmist says of the nation of Israel in our text may be said of our nations. Look at Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38 again. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. We as a nation have polluted our land with the innocent blood of pre-born human beings. And yet, ironically, we as a nation sing with pride, God, to keep our land glorious and free. Well, our land is not glorious, but polluted with the blood of over 4 million unborn babies killed mercilessly by abortion. Oh, what we need to ask God to do is not to keep our land, but to forgive us as a nation, to heal our land. What we need to do right now is to admit our sin and ask for forgiveness as a nation. With that in mind, what we will do in this message is study our passage in light of the issue of abortion. Now, Psalm 106 can be divided into 3 major sections. Verses 1 through 5 is a call to worship God. That's why look at verse 1 of Psalm 106. Praise ye the Lord, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. It is a call to worship from verses 1 through 5. Now, from verses 6 through 46, the second major section of this psalm is a confession of sin. It is a confession of sin. And then the last section is what we may call a cry for deliverance from sin, verse 47. And then the book, chapter, Psalm 106, ends with a doxology in verse 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Now, in this message, we will only focus on the second and third sections of this psalm, a confession of sin and a cry for deliverance from sin. So, first of all, let's consider the second section from verses 6 through 46, a confession of sin. Now, look at verse 6, please. Here the psalmist says, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Now here, the psalmist, who is most likely David, we don't know for sure who wrote Psalm 106, probably David. But here the psalmist is making a confession of national sin. Notice how he prays in verse 6. We, plural, have sinned with our fathers. We, plural again, have committed iniquity. We, plural again, have done wickedly. Now, don't we do the same? When we pray to God on behalf of our nation, we say, Lord, as a nation, we as a nation have sinned against you. We have forsaken you and transgressed your law. We have murdered millions of unborn children by abortion. We have defiled our land with their innocent blood. Lord, forgive us. Then the psalmist names their sins as a nation, one by one. Verse 7, a sin of rebellion. Verse 7, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Sin of rebellion. Verses 13 and 14, we have the sin of impatience. They waited not for his counsel, but lasted exceedingly in the wilderness. They tempted God in the desert. Verses 19 through 22, sin of idolatry. Look at verse 19. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Verses 24 and 25, sin of faithlessness, discontent, and disobedience. Read verse 25. But they murmured in their hearts and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. They disobeyed God. Verses 28 and 29, we have the sin of provocation. Verse 29, thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. And then verses 32 through 36, sin of compromise. One version puts verse 35 this way, but they intermarried with them and adopted their pagan ways. And here comes the sin of murder. Verses 37 and 38, which will be the focus of our message. Verses 37 and 38. Yea, They sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Now, listen now, please. To some degree, the kind of sin mentioned here in verses 37 and 38 is not different from the sin of abortion. And by the word abortion, I mean the deliberate destruction of a child in the womb. Now, observe the correlation between what the Israelites did here in our passage and what we Canadians have done and still do today. Verse 37, the Israelites sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons, to the devils. Imagine that. And the word sacrifice here implies the killing or slaying of their children. Of course, before you sacrifice your child, you have to kill that child. You have to murder that child in order to sacrifice your child to an idol, to a demon, a devil. They slaughtered their children. Why? In order to offer them to the demons, or as verse 38 says, in order to sacrifice them to the idols of Canaan. To the idols of Canaan, to pagan idols. Imagine that. Killing your own child and sacrificing that child to the idols of Canaan. Now, we can say that when a mother aborts her unborn child, she is slaughtering her own child. She is slaughtering her child in order to sacrifice her child to the idols of this world. And in the world of abortion, the main idol is convenience. Convenience. Everyone wants convenience. We don't want inconvenience. Years ago, a study was done by two authors, by Errol Norwitz and John Scourge. They wrote a book, and in that book they made this observation. Please listen carefully. In the US and UK, 1% of all abortions occur because of rape or incest. 1%. 6% of abortions occur because of potential health problems with either the mother or the child. 93% of all abortions occur for social reasons. That is, the child is unwanted or inconvenient. That child is inconvenient. Imagine this, 93% of all abortions happen because of inconvenience. In other words, if you were to ask 100 mothers who aborted their children, why did you abort your children? 93 of them would say, well, because my baby would just interfere with my life. I don't want to have an inconvenient life. And so we can say that they aborted their children in order to offer them to the idol of convenience. Those who aborted their babies would say, well, it is inconvenient to have a baby. Of course, it can be inconvenient to have a baby. You will experience many sleepless nights. And if you have a baby, you know that very well, that there are times that you cannot sleep well during the night. That's not convenient. It is inconvenient. It is convenient to change a diaper in the middle of the night? Of course not. And there are times that our children will get sick, that you have to be with them in the ER, in the hospital, or in their bed. That you have to sacrifice things that you want to do, but now you can't because of the situation of your precious child. Of course, it is not convenient to have children. Those who aborted their babies would say, well, it is difficult to raise a child. Of course, it is difficult to raise a child. Having children comes with great responsibilities. The duty to train them diligently in the way they should go. It comes with the calling to faithfully teach them God's word. It comes with the responsibility of lovingly correct and discipline them. And such responsibilities are not easy to do. You know that very well, parents. Those who aborted their babies would say, well, it is stressful to have kids. Of course, parenting children can be stressful. And kids can sometimes be annoying. They can test our patience. You know that parents very well. Oh, but the joy of parenthood outweighs the stress of parenthood. The blessing of parenthood outweighs the difficulty, discomfort, and inconvenience of parenthood. And so, really, when you abort your child because of inconvenience, what you are doing is you are offering your child to the idol of convenience. You are therefore guilty of idolatry. And that's why, for me, abortion is a worship of the idol of convenience. Abortion is a worship of the idol of convenience. Now, as you are listening to this message, you might be thinking silently, well, this message is not applicable to me because I'm not guilty of the sin of abortion. Well, you may not be guilty of the sin of abortion, but if you are worshiping the same idol of convenience, you want convenience. You don't want inconvenience. You want convenience. And you are so preoccupied with convenience, you want everything to be convenient in your life, then you are guilty of idolatry. And I am afraid that there are many Christians today who are worshiping the idol of convenience. Now, please be honest. How many of us only want to serve God if it is within our comfort zone? Be honest. In the context of worship service, we only want to worship God if we feel good, if the worship service is comfortable. But the moment we experience some inconvenience, perhaps because of the message that we hear, we don't want this kind of message. It's not comfortable, especially when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you from His Word. Because by nature, we want our ears to get tickled. Now, so long that I am your pastor, don't expect me to tickle your ears. I'm going to preach the Word of God. And the Word of God is sharper than two-edged sword. It comes to us, penetrating into our inmost beings, causing that pain sometimes, that conviction. And when you feel that, when you experience that, be thankful to the Lord, because that shows that the Word of God is alive in your heart, that the Holy Spirit is actually working in your heart. We want convenience. And the moment we experience some inconvenience, maybe because of the length of our service, maybe 10 minutes longer than usual, we complain. Or maybe we want the pews where we sit to be just wonderful, maybe like the couch that we have at home. We want to just sit comfortably. Or maybe we want the temperature of our sanctuary to be just perfect for you, not too hot, not too cold. So if you feel like too hot, too cold, you complain, you murmur, you act like the Israelites in the wilderness. Well, if we are unwilling to face difficulty and discomfort, then let's just go back home, go back to bed and sleep. If we don't want to experience some inconvenience in our Christian life, then let's stop following the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus tells us in His Word, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his own cross and follow me. To follow Jesus is not easy. I have been following the Lord Jesus Christ now for over 20 years. And I tell you this, it is not easy to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a Christian is not always pleasant. It's not always easy. You will face trials. You will face tribulations. You will face challenges, hardship. And we are blessed that we live in this nation where we do not need to deal with extreme persecution. Imagine our brothers and sisters in the Lord who live in North Korea. They cannot gather together like this and worship God in public. Imagine those who are constantly being hunted by their government because of their faith in Christ. To be a Christian is not easy. And therefore, if all that you want in this world is convenience, then might as well abort your Christian life. Just go home. Go to bed. Sleep. If all that we want in this world is comfort, convenience, ease, then let's just abort our Christian life. Let's abort our commitments to the Lord. Let's cancel all our commitments to the Lord. Let's abort the life of our church. Let's abort our Sunday school or catechism. Let's get rid of it. So after the service, we'll just go home straight. Let's cancel, abort our consistory or elders meeting. Or let's abort our prayer meeting, our Bible study. Let's abort our afternoon service if it is inconvenient for us to worship God twice on Sunday. And by the way, many churches have already done this. Many churches have already aborted the afternoon service. If you don't want inconvenience, then stop giving to the Lord. Stop supporting mission work. You see, to serve God is not always easy. You know, whenever I see our elderly members, they are worship, boys and girls, we have elderly members this morning sitting on the pews. It's not convenient for them to sit for an hour and 30 minutes to worship God. Some of them have pain, arthritis, but they are here. and I am blessed by you. Now, of course, there are times that you can't worship God anymore. I'm thinking of Mrs. Vanderhart. She would love to be here, but she can't because of her situation. And yet, how many of us, so healthy, so healthy, the Lord is still giving you health to serve Him. What are you doing with that gift of health? Are you using it for Him? See, the joy of serving Jesus outweighs the price of serving Jesus. It is not easy, yes, to be a Christian, but I tell you this, the joy that I have in Jesus outweighs the difficulty of serving Jesus. Think of Jesus Himself. Think of Jesus Himself who endured the cross, despising the shame for that joy set before Him. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter, the author of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What kind of joy is that? Jesus knew that it would not be easy for Him to go through this process of dying. That's why, remember, He prayed, if it is possible, let this cup pass me. But not my will, but your will be done. And yet He endured the cross because of that joy, because of that joy of fulfilling the will of His Father, the joy of securing your salvation and my salvation. We can learn too from Mary, earthly mother of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, verses 31, 38, or 37, 38, we read, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary did not abort her son, Jesus Christ, even if she knew what it would mean for her to carry the child. Imagine how inconvenient it must have been for Mary to carry that child. Imagine the rumors around her. Oh, Mary was unfaithful. She got pregnant. Imagine that. But she did not abort her child. Who are you worshiping this morning? The idol of convenience? Are you offering your life to the devil? To this idol? Or to our God who gave you that life? Who gave you His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now briefly, let's move to the second section of this psalm. A cry for deliverance from sin. Verse 47. Now maybe as you are listening to this message, silently you are saying, I'm not guilty, I have not aborted many opportunities to serve God. I have served and worship. Or you're saying, I'm guilty. I have aborted many opportunities to serve God. and that you have served and worship the idol of convenience and comfort. Well, we have this prayer here in verse 47. Look at verse 47, please. Save us, again, plural. O Lord, our God, gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. What the psalmist is saying, Lord, please rescue us from these idols, from these pagan people, from our sin. Free us, deliver us from our sin. And of course, we know that only Jesus can do this, whose name means deliverer or savior. Only Jesus can save us from this sin of abortion or spiritual abortion. Norma McCorvey, known as Jane Roe, was once a pro-choice advocate, but became a pro-life advocate. On March 23, 1997, she gave the following speech. Listen to what she said. I am Norma McCorvey. I became known as Jane Roe on January 22, 1973, when the U.S. Supreme Court released the Roe versus Wade decision, which created a woman's, quote-unquote, right to abortion. I am now a child of God, a new creature in Christ. I am forgiven and redeemed. Today, I publicly recant my involvement in the tragedy of abortion. I humbly ask forgiveness of the millions of women and unborn babies who have experienced the violence of abortion. In this place of healing, the National Memorial for the Unborn, I stand with those who honor the worth of every unborn child as created in the image of God. I will strive in the name of Jesus to end this Holocaust. You see, there is forgiveness in Christ. The gospel is so powerful that it can change those who have no regard for the life of the unborn children. And that's why what we need to do as a congregation is proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be more active. We need to pray to the Lord that He will give us strength and wisdom as we face these challenges in our society, because they will keep on challenging us. But we need to respond. We need to respond to them, to our society, to our culture, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do it in a way that we can still give glory and honor to our God. And we need to pray also. Many people prayed. It took many years for the decision made in 1973 to be reversed. As you know, last year, June 24, 2022, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. The Supreme Court believed that there is no longer a federal constitutional right to an abortion. This was an answer to many prayers. And also an encouragement to us to keep praying and praying and praying to the Lord. We need to be intercessors here in Canada. We need to pray on behalf of our nation, on behalf of our fellow Canadians, because they will not pray. But we can pray for them. And there is power in prayer. God is pleased to answer the prayer of His people. And of course, we know that someday abortion will finally come to an end, when Jesus returns, Christ will put an end to evil and establish His perfect righteousness in the new heaven and the new earth. He will bring peace and joy to His redeemed people. And so the time will come, we will be able to sing a doxology. We will be able to sing verse 48. Like what I said, Psalm 106 ends with a beautiful doxology, with a praise. Yes, it is filled with the sins of God's people. But look at the ending, verse 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen! Praise ye the Lord. The end is going to be gloriously beautiful. For us believers, the best is yet to come indeed. That is to say, whatever is happening now will be surpassed by something far better in the future. Right now, we can be so discouraged when we see the moral, spiritual condition of our nation. But the best is yet to come. Paul says in Romans 8 verse 18, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For us believers, there is a glory awaiting us that no words can describe. We will be changed. We will be dwelling in the house of the Lord where only righteousness dwells. There will be no more abortion there, no more killing, no more death, no more pain, no more tears. And we will be with Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, forever and ever and ever. That is my future. What kind of future do you have? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for challenging us to despise the idols of convenience and comfort. Oh Lord, we confess that we don't want inconvenience. We don't want discomfort. We don't want difficulty. We don't want trials or sufferings in this life. But Lord, you have told us that those who follow Jesus must be willing to take up their own cross, must be willing to suffer. And yet, Lord, we thank you because the joy that we have in serving Jesus outweighs all the prices of serving Him. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Help us also as a congregation to be more active in advancing the message of the gospel, that in Jesus there is forgiveness, that even for those who have committed the sin of abortion can be forgiven, can be healed, they can experience transformation, restoration, joy, peace, like what happened to Norma McCorvey. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.